Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
I love that. I love our church. I love all of you. I love to be able to stand here and speak from the Word of God to all of you. I love being a pastor of this church. It is such an honor. It is such a privilege. I'm serious. I never thought in a million years that I get to be a part of this. I never thought in a million years I get to be a pastor as well. When I first moved to Australia, I was not even a Christian. And little did I know that God has a plan for my life. And I really do believe that God has a wonderful plan for your life as well. So it's going to be an exciting journey ahead for those who put their faith in God, knowing that God has our future in His hand. We have our decisions to make, obviously, but God knows what's going on. He is in control, so I want you to be encouraged by that. Today, we're starting a brand new series that we're calling No Perfect People Allowed, and it is such a great series that we have always wanted to do for a long, long time. We've done a message, or one-off message, I think many, many years ago, but we've never actually done a series on this, and this is actually our DNA. As Janine said, this is our slogan, No Perfect People Allowed, and I'm so looking forward to what we're going to unfold over the next few weeks over this topic of No Perfect People Allowed. Now, I forgot this one, so I'm going to come back here. Okay, here we go. I will remember it next time. Now, the reason why I love this message and this series that we're going to do is because it reminds us every Sunday we come here, isn't it? It reminds me as a pastor of this church that none of us is perfect. And I think we all need that reminder because even the Apostle John said so when he said, if we claim that we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. Notice the present tense. If we claim we have no sin. I think a lot of Christians, they all know that our lives are not perfect, for sure. But a lot of Christians forget that we think that, before we met Christ, our lives, they were not perfect. But then, you know, we feel a bit better about ourselves. We feel like, hey, we've come along in our journey and we get prideful. You know, we get this superiority complex where we feel like we're better than everybody else. But John here reminds us, if we claim that we have no faith, present tense, we are only fooling ourselves. We're not living in the truth. And it's very important for us to live in the truth because the truth will set us free. So if we have this superiority complex, it's not going to help our faith journey at all. So for me, the slogan, No Perfect People Allowed, will help us to move along in our faith journey more than if we don't realize that this is true of us, all right? A lot of people thought this is like a self-condemning kind of statement, like No Perfect People Allowed. How come you always remind us that we're not perfect? I think it's important for us to be reminded so that we can live in the truth and the truth will set us free. Now, not only it is a good reminder for us as people of faith, No Perfect People Allowed, but guess what? This is also a great, great reminder for people who are still outside of the four walls of our church. Because guess what? A lot of people have this huge misconception about what church is like. A lot of people out there think that this is the place where you need to get your life together before you can come. You know, the church today, it is very, very unfortunate that the church today is not the most grace-filled place. Unfortunately, it is true. The church should be the body of Christ, is it not? When Jesus was here on earth, He was here physically in the body. And when Jesus was here in the body, guess what happened? A lot of people flocked to Jesus. A lot of people who are marginalized, the sinners, you know, tax collectors, prostitutes, you know, you name it. People just flock to be with Jesus, even though they were nothing like Jesus. They liked Jesus. And then, you know, they knew they could never be like Jesus. But somehow, they didn't feel condemned by Jesus. They didn't feel like they needed to be different when they were around Jesus. Because Jesus had this amazing thing about him that just oozes grace and acceptance. And we, as the church, the body of Christ, we should be, of all places in the world, the most grace-filled place. But unfortunately, it is not true, isn't it? For a lot of non-Christians out there, the church is often seen as a place where it's full of judgment. You know, we are considered very judgmental. We are very self-righteous, and we are hypocrite, basically. If you don't trust me, you can trust this research by McCrindle, Top 10 Perceptions of Christians in Australia. This is an Australian statistics. 25% says that we are traditional. 20% says we are judgmental. 18% says we are old-fashioned. 18% opinionated. And 17% hypocritical. And if you zoom this information in and you ask this question, top three negative influences for non-Christians called to Christianity. These are the people who don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. The reason why they are not Christians, they don't want to be a Christian. Top three negative influences for non-Christians called to Christianity. Church abuse, church is outdated, and judging others, 83%. Top three negative influences for non-Christians warm to Christianity. That means like they don't really mind the church. They don't really mind Christianity. But still, in their mind, these are the top three negative influences. Church abuse, religious wars, and judging others. Notice the last one, judging others. 83%, 62%. This is the people's perception about church. This is just the reality that we have to face as community of faith here in Australia. And again, as I said before, this shouldn't be the case because Jesus was not like that. Jesus was not like that. I often give you this quote by Andy Stanley, and it's a powerful, wonderful quote. People who were nothing like Jesus actually liked Jesus. And then, this is even more amazing, Jesus liked them back. Jesus liked the people who were nothing like him. And for we to be the body of Christ for real, this statement should be true of us as well. People who are nothing like us, the Christians, should really like us. The question is, why don't they like us? And we should like people who are nothing like us as well. My question to you and question I ask myself is, do I really like people out there? Do I really like people who don't have the same beliefs as I do? Do I really like people whose behavior are totally different from mine? You know, what's my view of them? How do I treat them? How do I communicate with them? How do I bridge this gap so that they know what I know? You see, maybe, if we want to be honest, we don't really like the people who are not like us. Actually, if you want to be honest, we really don't, do we? You know, even after church, you know, when this gathering is over, when we go outside to the foyer, you're going to flock to talk to the people that you already know. Hardly, we will go out of our way to talk to people that we don't know because we feel uncomfortable, because we don't know them. Maybe they're not like us. You know, maybe they don't have the same skin color as us. Maybe they don't, you know, we don't know, right? So that's why it's so important for us to understand this as a faith community. If we were to have any hope at all of, you know, extending this message of grace to the next generation, we really, really need to think about this because this is the truth, okay? John Burke, whose, you know, book called No Perfect People Allowed is where we get the idea from for our slogan, wrote this: our generation longs for something authentic. They want to see a genuine faith that works for less than perfect people before they are willing to trust. They desperately want permission to be who they are with the hope of becoming more. Now, this is a powerful statement. You know, we can unpack this for days. But our generation, they're not against Christianity. And our generation, they know they're not perfect. Look at the last sentence. They desperately want permission to be who they are with the hope of becoming more. Because they're longing for more. Whatever it is that give them satisfaction. They know that's not it. You know, there's got to be something more. But then, unfortunately, we don't provide that space for them. We don't provide that space where it is safe for them to explore. They don't trust us. That's the issue, isn't it? Today, you know, if I give a title to this sermon, it's the issue of trust. It's the problem, the struggle for trust that we have with the generation that we're trying to reach. They long for something authentic. They want to see a genuine faith that works for less than perfect people before they are willing to trust. So here's the bottom line. I usually give the bottom line for my sermon at the end, towards the end at least. But I want to give you the bottom line now because I don't want you to miss this, okay? And this is going to be the guiding principle for the rest of this series. This is the bottom line that I want you to know today, that at The Rocks, we want to create a culture of authenticity and grace where we can be honest about our imperfection and find the support and help we need to make progress. I want the generation, the society, the community that we are trying to reach to trust us again, okay? Because there's a lot of distrust at the moment, especially in Australia, and you can tell by the number of people who don't go to church. Less than 10% Australians go to church. So we want to create this culture where trust will be developed again. We want to create a culture of authenticity and grace where we can actually be honest with the fact that we're not perfect. And then we find support and encouragement and the help that we need to make progress, to be better and better at life. Can you imagine how refreshing, how powerful it would be if we as a faith community here, you know, can be honest about our success and our failure? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if we don't have to pretend when we come to church? Can you imagine if our children, our young adults, our teenagers can feel very comfortable exploring and questioning and being accepted with all the questions and struggles and so on? It will be very, very powerful, I reckon. And that's the only way, we can reach not only our generation in our church, but then more importantly, the people, the generation outside of our church. So this morning, what I thought I'd do, I want to show you some of the imperfection that we need to learn to embrace, okay? Because as we embrace this imperfection ourselves, we can create this culture of openness and authenticity for people outside to see like, hey, these people, you know, they're not perfect and they're okay with it. And maybe I should be okay with it as well. What are some of the imperfection that we have? We have, number one, imperfect bodies. Paul says, we grow weary in our present bodies and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Paul says, our body is nothing but a tent that is fading, a tent that is going away, you know, and nothing reminds me of this fact that my body is not perfect than when I go to the swimming pool. Let me tell you, this body, I'm telling you, I am more conscious whenever I go to the beach, I go to the swimming pool. When I shower and on my own in the bathroom, yeah, you know, nobody sees. But as soon as I go out, oh no, you know, my face is perfect. You saw nothing wrong with my face. It is this body. It's too wide, too far out, all right? And I am longing for that heavenly bodies. But we do put a lot of attention on our bodies, don't we? You know, we put we spend a lot of money trying to cover it up. We spend a lot of money to make ourselves more beautiful than we really are, more presentable, more good looking. I'm not saying that you should come to church, you know, without makeup and with your hair undone and all that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't care at all about your appearance, you know. I care about my appearance because I don't want to be a distraction. What if I start wearing like really, really tight shirt with my fat bulging everywhere? You know, you wouldn't like that. And maybe you can't concentrate. But we have to embrace and realize, hey, these bodies of ours, they are not perfect. All right? They're fading away. Someday we're all going to die. I know we have to take care of our health. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But you have to realize, no matter how much you spend on your body, no matter how much you take care of your body, these bodies that we have are not perfect and we are fading away. Not only are our bodies not perfect, our circumstances are also not perfect. Listen again to the words of Paul. Each time he said, this is God saying, when Paul asked Jesus, Jesus, please take this thorn away from me. This is bothering me so much. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh that is bothering Paul. It could be sickness. It could be sin struggle that he has. And then he asked Jesus to remove the thorn in his flesh. And this is the answer that Jesus gave him. Each time he asked for Jesus to remove the thorn in his flesh, each time Jesus said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Again, I want to tell you, he said exactly what John said. When you learn to embrace your weakness, when you learn to embrace your imperfection, when you realize, hey, this, whatever is happening with me, you know, with my family, with my job, with my church, with my neighbor, you know, all this persecution that I'm feeling, that I'm experiencing, all this hardship, this struggle I have with, you know, all kinds of stuff, it's like normal. You see, this is like part and parcel of living in a sinful world. This is where Jesus' word for you is actually something that you really need to take to heart, that His grace is enough for you. His grace is sufficient for you. And when you realize this, this is when you can get stronger and stronger, stronger, because the perfection of Jesus will be made real in your life as you learn to embrace this more and more. For where I am weak, then I am strong. You know, we don't only have our imperfect bodies, we have imperfect circumstances. And as followers of Jesus Christ, here's another thing that's imperfect. We can't even obey God perfectly, right? Imperfect obedience. Again, Paul says, in Romans chapter 7, and this is the experience that maybe you are experiencing, this is certainly the experience that I have, Paul says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. What's going on? You know, Paul is struggling with this. And Paul couldn't understand himself. Like, I don't know what's going on with me. I love Jesus. I love God. I know all the bad things that I shouldn't be doing, but I keep doing them. I know the good things that I should be doing, and I don't do them. What's going on? Who can help me? And then if you keep reading in Romans chapter 7, going on to Romans 8, Paul says, thank God, but for the grace of Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that keeps reminding us again, you know, that this is like what's happening in our world. We just need to embrace it. We need to realize it, that this is a process for us. None of you is a finished product yet. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus, that's for sure, but we are not yet a finished product. We are still a work in progress. The Holy Spirit is still working in us to make us better and better, to be more like God's Son, Jesus Christ. But our obedience on this side of heaven is less than perfect. Let me tell you that, all right? There's another thing that's imperfect. Our relationships are not perfect. This is what happened with Barnabas and Paul, the two amazing leaders in the first church. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. John Mark is the guy who gave us the Gospel of Mark. You know, they wanted to go to these mission trips, but then, you know, Paul refused to take John Mark. So, I mean, let me read it for us. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul disagreed strongly. Since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work, their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. See, Paul disagreed strongly. Can you imagine? I couldn't imagine this at first. When I first read it, I thought, wow, we're talking about Paul. We're talking about this amazing, humble guy, right? Who gave us 2/3 of our New Testament. And Barnabas, the son of encouragement, that's what his name means. And they came into such sharp dispute that they went their separate ways. These are the first church leaders who have imperfect relationships. And let me tell you right now, so that you know and you learn to embrace this. None of your relationship is perfect. Your marriage relationship is not perfect. Your father-son, father-daughter relationship is not perfect. Your relationship with the church people is not perfect. Some of us here in this church are going to hurt you. Some of us are going to disappoint you. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to disappoint you. Because maybe we will have something that we disagree on, and you get disappointed that, you know, why would I do such a thing, or why would I believe such a thing? And you got hurt because you put your hope in me, you put your trust in me, and you realize, no, I can't do that. You see, our relationships in this world is not perfect. And then if you think that, oh, maybe it's just us, maybe it's just people today, Christians are getting worse and worse. No, this has been the case all throughout history. If you look at the examples that God gave to us as role models to follow in the Bible, none of the examples that we have in the Bible are perfect too. If you look at these names, Adam and Eve, the OG sinners, the very first sinners, Noah, who was a drunkard, Abraham lied a couple of times, twice, to save his own behind. Again, and he passed it down basically to Isaac and Jacob as well. They also lied. You know, they are deceivers as well. What about David, a man after God's own heart? A man after God's own heart. I don't believe any of us is closer to God than David was close to God. He was really, really close to God, all right? That's why his nickname is a man after God's own heart. And yet, what example did he give us? Not only did he commit adultery, taking somebody else's wife and slept with her, he killed her husband along the way. Can you imagine that? A man after God's own heart. What about Jesus' disciples? What about Peter, who deserted Jesus? What about Judas, who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? What about the other disciples who deserted Jesus as well? You know, all these examples in the scripture remind us that, guess what? This no perfect people allowed thing, it's like it's happening all throughout history. But here's the good news that I want us to go with this morning. That Jesus is actually not repelled by our imperfection. Jesus, he is not allergic to your imperfection. I know I grew up, when I became a Christian, I grew up believing that God is holy. God cannot be contaminated by sin. God is allergic to sin. I tell you, that is a wrong belief. Because when Jesus was on earth, guess what? He mingled with sinners. He mingled with imperfect people. Jesus is not repelled by your imperfection. You don't have to hide before Jesus, all right? You don't have to be, you don't have to pretend before Jesus. God knows you're not perfect. And guess what? God, because he knows you're not perfect, that's why God took the initiative. Listen to the word of Paul. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You know, God did not wait for you to be perfect first. That's not going to happen ever. And that's why God said, no, no, no. Leave it to me. I will do it. I'll take the initiative. So God, while we were still sinners, gave us his one and only son, Jesus Christ. And then listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. This high priest of ours, that is Jesus, understands our weaknesses. You can replace the word weaknesses with imperfection. He understands our imperfection, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You don't have to pretend before God. You don't have to pretend when you come to church. You don't have to appear better than who you really are. We can create a culture of authenticity and grace in this church. Guess what? Because Jesus, our own high priest, right? He understands. How much more do we need to understand one another that way? You know, He faced everything we do, yet He did not sin. And that's the reason why we can come to the throne of God, to the throne of our gracious God, and we can receive His mercy, His grace to help us. You know, but if you think you are better than the rest of the world, if you think that you are better than your neighbor, God's grace will not be there for you. His mercy will not be there for you. You don't even realize that you need His grace and His mercy in your life. So, as we go from this place, I have three applications to give to us, all right? Three applications, very simple. Number one, all of us need to learn again, learn afresh. All of us need to accept the fact that we are still work in progress. And you should be okay with that. I know I'm frustrated with myself. At times, you know, I'm so frustrated with myself. I want to see more growth. I want to see more commitment. I want to see more of everything. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is very patient with me. And the Holy Spirit is very patient with you as well. He knows that you are still a work in progress. So we need to embrace our imperfection and we should be okay with that. All right? That's number one. Number two, embrace the love, acceptance, and help of God through Jesus in our messiness. Especially if you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that you are welcome here. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're online watching this from your living room or from your bedroom, if you're here in the building, this is God's message for you today. That He loves you as you are. God understands your imperfection. He's okay with it. He's okay with it, okay? That's why He sent His Son Jesus, so that He could show us the grace. He could reveal to us the grace that He has for us, the forgiveness, the mercy that He has for us. If you want to know how to do that, go to therocks.church, you know, find out how you can become a follower of Jesus Christ. And then finally, number three, extend the same love, acceptance, and help you have received from Jesus to others. Be gracious with one another. Be gracious with one another. Be gracious with me, please. You know, I know I'm a pastor of this church, but I'll tell you, I'm going to disappoint you. Please be gracious with me. Be gracious with your church leaders. Be forgiving. Be encouraging. We want to create this culture where we don't need to be somebody that we're not. Okay? Find a community here in this church. You don't have to be totally transparent to everybody. That's why we want to encourage everyone to join a small group of authentic community where you can be more transparent in a smaller circle. You don't have to do it with everybody, but you need people around you that can understand you as you are. And then finally, listen to this. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. This is the call to everybody. This is the call to every follower of Jesus Christ. We need to clothe ourselves with mercy, with kindness, with gentleness, but because we want to be known in this community as the place where they can be authentic, as a place where they can be themselves, and they will not be judged. They will be accepted. Even the Christians, more and more Christians are leaving church now. Because they can't find a place where they can be themselves in the church. You know, this has to be our DNA. This has to be us. And then if you belong to your small group, you know, we're going to discuss some of these questions in our small group. Is it easy or difficult for you to embrace imperfection in yourself, in others? How does knowing God's grace is made perfect in your imperfection help you to grow? And how can you extend this grace to other people around you? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.